Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect Purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Horse rat pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Good morning.
Hey, good morning, guys. How you doing?
Good morning, folks.
Hey, good morning, guys.
Good morning, guys. Big fan of the show.
It's Jeremy White and Joe DiBiase.
Good morning, Jeremy and Joe.
Hello there.
Are you good?
Hey, guys. Love the show. Big fans. Over probably 20 years.
Hey, guys. How you doing today?
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Hey, how you doing?
Call or text WGR at 803-0550 or post on X at WGR550 and get connected to Jeremy and Joe now.
Should we start the show with what Nate just said to me? The words that were spoken right before the mics went on. A great Tiger quote.
Oh, it's so good. Did you see Colin Montgomery's quote from over the weekend?
No.
So it's, you know, Genesis Scottish Open over the weekend, and obviously this week is Open Week.
Yeah.
And Colin Montgomery is a...
Open champion, right?
I don't believe he's won an Open. I think he might be a major champion.
Man, if he didn't win one, Colin Montgomery, for the first 15 years of my life watching golf, was always in eighth place at the Open Championship. Just perennially in eighth place. But maybe you never won it?
Let's see.
Is he who won the U.S. Open that Phil pulled out driver at Wingfoot and put it in the tent? Maybe is that the major I'm thinking of for him? He never won a major.
Never won a major. So his quote, and let me pull up his quote simultaneously so that I can give you context on why this is such a fire quote from Tiger.
Let's give 716 day. We're opening the show with Colin Montgomery. And,
trash talk.
Golf quotes. Here we go. Oh, trash talk. Okay.
And Colin Montgomery is quote to say about Tiger, what the hell is he doing? It's basically time to hang it up. Like, everyone's got a time. It's time for you to hang it up. You're not competitive anymore. And Tiger, in his quote from Daniel Rapoport, which I guess was just on my Twitter, and I just lost it. So hold on. Let me...
Tiger now is, what, going to fire back at Colin Montgomery? War of words between two guys that probably be on the senior tour at this point. Tiger can play wherever.
Okay, Tiger asked about Colin Montgomery's retirement comments. Uh-huh. Quote, as a past champion, I'm exempt until I'm 60. Colin is not.
Oh, because he's he's over 60. And not
because
a past champion.
Because he's won the he can play.
Past champion.
Basically saying if Colin could, he would, but you know what? He can't.
That's well done. That's well done by Tiger. All right, little war of words going into the Open Championship this week, which Tiger is playing in, right? I haven't heard otherwise.
He is. Okay. And yesterday, the practice round, they showed some videos of him working on his you know, little two iron punch shots. His his low, and listen, I mean, I don't know how much. I don't know. Are you big into the Open? People really talk about it as the tournament of the year.
I don't know if I'd call it tournament of the year, but I love the Open because
they call the winner the champion of the year.
Okay. I mean, I'm fine.
Sure.
Fine.
Right.
I'm not going to get too upset over that. I love it because it's different. It's so different.
It is very different.
The links style golf, no trees, heather, putting from 60 yards off the green. Like, it's just, it feels like a different sport in some ways, but it's good, and it's also always on in the morning, which I really like. So, yeah, no, I love the Open. I've also committed in the last, like, year and a half, 2 years, to start calling it the Open. The Open Championship instead of the British.
I think I still call it the British Open.
I'll probably do it on accident once in a while still, but I've tried not to call it the British anymore. I guess I don't really care either way.
I don't think they care too much. They rebranded. So this is Royal Troon is a beautiful golf course. So by the way, there are 12 golf courses in a 7 mile span right on the coast of Scotland. In Troon, and there's, you know, I think four or five other Troon courses and a bunch of other. This is sort of like golf heaven. I'm not sure. So yesterday I spent. So instead of, and I was joking with a buddy of mine, I was like, usually Mondays are my practice day. So like I'll hit the driving range, usually about 2 hours, work on some stuff. What did I do what was crappy about my game this week? Oh, I might work on more putting. I might, whatever, right?
Yeah.
So yesterday, obviously, there were, you know, golf ball size hail outside. So I did not do my normal routine on Monday. So instead of my normal routine, I went home after work and I was like, well, there's really no sports on until later, the Home Run Derby, whatever.
Yeah.
So I flipped on NBC Sports, or I should say the Golf Channel, and they're doing their, you know, practice rounds and preview and talking about the weather this week.
Okay.
60s and raining and 20-mile-per-hour winds every single day.
Beauty.
At least a 50% chance of rain every day.
Let's go. That's Lynx golf right there.
And
it's got to be gray. It's not the Open Championship unless the sky is gray and it's harder to evaluate the fits of all the golfers because everybody's got rain jackets on. It's not the Open unless everyone's got a loose wind jacket or rain jacket on.
I feel like I need to better I want to bet the U.S. or the I want to bet the Open Championship.
Yeah.
I feel like the weather aspect of this makes it more interesting. I think that there's going to be a first-time major winner.
Okay.
Brian Harman was the first-time major winner last year.
Yeah. Can you name the last five Open Championship winners? Brian Harman last year, you mentioned.
Yep.
Year before that, I remember because that's St. Andrews, right? And that came down to the end.
It was Cam Smith.
Cam Smith, because it was about to give it away, I think, and that the guy immediately left for LIV.
Immediately.
Upon getting next all day. Of his exemptions.
Like, next day, yeah.
Yeah. Cam Smith was 2 years ago, yep.
What?
Year before that was not a first-time major winner. Maybe he was. Morikawa won in 2021.
Yep.
They didn't hold it in 2020 because of COVID, and then 2019 was Shane Lowry.
Shane Lowry, yep.
Yeah.
And
that was in Northern Ireland and he was Irish. So that was that was a cool story.
That's a banger. Yeah, and obviously, you know, McIntyre wins last week at the Scottish Open. He's back home. I mean, he's from Scotland. So yeah.
And a Scottish man hasn't won since 1999. So he would be the first time
Adam Scott?
No.
No, he's not Scottish.
It was a name I hadn't recognized. Paul Lowry in 1999. Anyways, it's Jeremy and Joe. Jeremy off till next week. Nate Geary's in. We'll talk a lot of Open Championship this week. We'll talk with Brian Koziel maybe tomorrow, Thursday, and Friday. Maybe Jeff Blank along the way as well. We'll get the guys from Tee to Green in through the week heading up to Thursday for the Open Championship in Scotland. Today is Give 716 Day. We are already almost at $400,000. Maybe we can get to $400,000 by the end of this segment. Give716.org if you want to donate. There's different incentives for every hour. This hour is Azuna Fresh. Bills and Sabres themed Azuna Fresh starter kits for the first 100 donors of $71.60 or more. Next hour, at 8 o'clock, there'll be Bills preseason tickets available. There'll be some signed Bandits and Bills stuff along the way. Gift cards. So stay tuned. Incentives each hour we'll let you know what those are going to be. But yeah, you could donate at any point today, any amount, give716.org. And the goal, I think we're trying to get to at least a million. It's probably even maybe more than that. I think a million seems like something we can accomplish by the end of today's show, right? $389,000. I think we can get to $1 million by 10 a.m. So give716.org. We'll be filling you in throughout the day, and we'll give you more details as we progress. The other thing Nate mentioned before we got rolling here, which is something I had written down to talk about today, because I heard Chopin Bulldog going back and forth about this yesterday. We are eight days from Bills training camp.
Rookies reported today.
I didn't realize that was going to be a thing. There's Adam Schefter with... how many times? It's one of my biggest pet peeves of July and August is the amount of times that it's announced, oh, football is back. Football is back when apparently rookies report to training camp. Football will be back when they're on the field for training camp. Football will be back again when the Hall of Fame game starts. And then it will really be back in the opening regular season game. Again, I digress. I won't rant about that the whole offseason, I promise. Rookies report today. So, Keon Coleman, Cole Bishop, I'm going to have to brush up a little bit. Third-round defensive tackle from Duke. What's the name?
Dwayne Carter,
thank you. Cedric Van Pran Granger. Mm-hmm. Okay, I got that one to memory.
That is a good one.
I've got that one to memory. And then a couple of other late-round picks for the Bills. So rookies and then the undrafted guys, Frank Gore Jr., I'm sure would be probably the headliner of that group, will report to Bills training camp today, the veterans, in about a week. So we'll talk some rookies today. I think Cole Bishop's a little interesting because he is going to get 1/50th of the talk that Keon Coleman gets. They went in the same round.
They did technically go in the same round.
So, like, is he starting week one? Would you bet it right now? Is Cole Bishop a starter? I, last year, really was strongly feeling that Osiris Torrence could start at right guard and that he would at least get a shot to do it. Maybe that's the way to frame it, right? That last year, what happened? Torrence got a shot to beat out Ryan Bates to be the right guard. And yeah, he did it. So I should assume, right, Cole Bishop's going to get a shot to be their starting safety next to Taylor Rapp? Right now, who their starting safeties are week one? Who would you bet on?
Starting safeties week one, I would bet it
who's is... the first defensive snap of the year? Who are their two safeties?
Taylor Rapp, Mike Edwards.
Okay.
That's what I think.
You'd go with the veterans.
Yeah. I just think it's because in Sean McDermott's defense,
yeah, safety's important.
It's super important, and I think there's going to be, with the leadership void that already exists,
mm-hmm,
I think that they want to fill that void, that bubble a little bit with veteran player. And that may not be, there may not be anything Cole Bishop can do about it, right? I mean, he might have, can a safety just really have like one of those camps where you're like, you can't keep this guy off the field? I mean, maybe, right?
You think it's a tougher position to do that?
I think it might be, especially because when's he going to really be able to stand out? I mean, he could get some...
He'd have to really do it in, like, I guess, the preseason.
Right, and maybe he makes plays, gets a couple of interceptions, batted down balls, is just all over guys in coverage.
It might be just the mental part of it for him, right? Like, if they feel like he's getting it, if they feel like he understands the defense, he understands positioning, then maybe that's all he has to do. Maybe he doesn't really have to make plays, splash plays. Maybe he just has to show, hey, I've got the mental part of this down.
I also don't... Mike Edwards is interesting to me. He's been injured, so he hasn't really been in... He's coming back from an injury, so he hasn't really participated in any of the voluntary, you know, in OTAs.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not sure really how they view him. He was largely... and has largely been a part-time starter over the course of his career. It's not like this is a guy walking in who is a, you know, four-year starter coming off his rookie deal and is a big money free agent. This is largely a swing at a guy that has been a part-time player in other places, but when he's been called upon, has played really well, and obviously gets injured last year, I think in what, like the fourth or fifth play of the Bills game?
It was very early in that game. It was the first drive. It was
in the playoffs, the first drive, right?
Yeah.
It was in the playoff game. So it's not like I have a really, you know, vivid recollection of what he was against the Bills in that playoff game.
Yeah.
But I know he started most of the season for the Chiefs, and that is one of the best defensive backfields in the league.
You want to know how much he played last year, actually? This is maybe the more important number is going to be the snap count. Because, like, Pro Football Reference says he only started 5 games last year. But he played 57% of defensive snaps.
Yeah.
So, like, he was on the field, right? He was on the field almost, you know, almost 60% of the time, and also played special teams as well. So that number is more representative of his role than I think the 5 starts, because it wasn't like, oh, the 12 games he didn't start, he wasn't out there. Like, he was playing. But right, like, do they want to go veteran there? I tend to bypass a little bit the idea that the Bills are kind of set on, or at that position more than others. That's the way I'd want to put it. That position more than others, they want veterans. Because I don't feel like I want to pretend to know what they like at that position. I've only really seen 2 people. I've only seen 2 plans the whole time Sean McDermott has been their coach. Like, Jordan Poyer and Micah Hyde are the only people they've ever really felt like they had to bring in to start, right? Like, everyone else has been depth. Everyone else has been role player, special teams. You know, Rapp maybe a little more of a role.
They hadn't really ever shown a desire to, like, develop someone behind them.
Well, the guy...
Jaquan Johnson, right?
Johnson.
But
then
he got in. He got in, and it was not good.
No, he was bad. Right, that's another part of this. Like, do you know the safety that has played the most at safety since McDermott got here that's not Poyer and Hyde? It's
DeMar Hamlin.
Yeah. Because he started 13 games in a season.
Yep.
Where, again, he was not the plan, though. They never planned on him going in, but he started almost a full year as someone that was a second-year pro that didn't really play in year one because he was just next man up. And I remember that season. I didn't think he was that bad. I mean, he definitely was not Poyer or Hyde, but it wasn't like he was getting them beat game after game after game. I thought DeMar Hamlin was fine in the game in the season he started, where he played 86% of defensive snaps. So, I mean, in that case, he had been in the building for a year, but it's not like he was a 4-5-year pro that, you know, was this savvy veteran that understood all the nuances of the defense. No, he was a young player.
Yeah.
He was a young player that, like, okay, you're in. You're in, and we're just going to roll with it for 13 games before, of course, the Cincinnati game. So I don't feel like I know what their real motivation would be at safety, what their real bar is at safety. Sure, I believe, of course, they want the guy to understand the defense, to not get beaten over the top, but more than other positions, because they've proven at other positions to be the same way. Running back, this is where I wanted to get to. Running back is a position, of course, they've been like that with, where you got to understand your blocking assignment, especially. And if you do that, and if you don't fumble, then we'll put you out there, but you got to have those things down.
I know,
and that's why James Cook got benched a couple of times in the first 2 years.
It sounds dumb. Like, okay, a running back should just be out there because he's the best running back. But being in those situations, being able to be trusted in those pass blocking situations where you've got to be physical is a huge part of the game. And it's not just at the NFL level. It's at the college level. It's like, really, I mean, it's at a young age, it's part of what running backs have to do and have to be able to do well and have to be a willing blocker. James Cook, I think, took a step last year in that. And I think it's part of the reason why he saw more time on the field. But I think it's also the reason why Latavius Murray played as much as he did.
I think that is a very forgotten element of their backfield last year. So the reason I wanted to get to this, James Cook, you mentioned BetOnline. By the way, I just went to their site and they're down. So you have the number? What his over-under is for this upcoming season in rushing yards?
It's 950 and a half.
950
it's less than 1,000 yards.
950 and a half for James Cook. Last season, he had 1,122 yards rushing. So that would be a 170-yard downgrade for James Cook in terms of his over-under.
Might you take the under? Would you be interested in that number and that under?
No, I don't think I would.
No?
I do not think they're going to run the ball more like you could think, because that's how they ended the season. I think they ran the ball more at the end of the year because they realized halfway through the season, or once Brady took over, we can't stop throwing picks because we don't have the receivers to run the offense the way we used to. Mm. We don't have the personnel to do it. So we need to get a little more simple. And what do you do when you run simple? You run the ball more. So they ran the ball more. And I also think the Dallas game was a massive inflator. Joe Brady said after that game, the plan was not to run the ball that much in that Dallas game. They did it because Dallas refused to put a third linebacker on the field, and they couldn't stop the run. So Joe Brady basically went, okay, I mean, I had something else planned for this game, but you're not stopping this run play, so I'm just going to continue to run it until you stop it, and Dallas never did. So I think that game also massively inflates their percentage of runs in certain situations. All that to say, I think they're going to return to largely the same volume pass team they've been. And James Cook, another reason I don't think that they're going to run the ball as much, where, you know, he had 237 carries last year. James Cook did. How much higher can he really go than that? Because
yeah,
he's not big. He's 5'11", 190 pounds. Like, James Cook is not the body type where I think you can say, okay, let's go into the year planning to give him 300 carries and 60 catches.
I'd agree with that. He also doesn't take a lot of hits.
That he's very good, especially for a running back. He's very slippery. Good at not doing it.
He's slippery.
But at running back, you can't always avoid that.
So it's funny you bring up the rushing totals from last year and the attempts, right? He finishes the year with 237 attempts and 44 catches. By the way, I know we all think of him as a guy that had a couple of really tough drops last year.
Yeah.
He had 54 targets and 44 receptions. All of his drops were like,
yeah,
moments where you remember the drops. Like, they were just big moments. He wasn't a guy that consistently dropped the ball. He just had five.
They were big ones.
Big drops.
There were three of them that all would have been touchdowns, by the way. All would have been touchdowns.
I have a take.
Okay. Go ahead.
If James Cook catches three of those.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them. Yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
If your day sounds like...
we need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... you deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame...
Two more.
You deserve this ice-cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Uh-huh.
Josh Allen's MVP.
if James Cook catches the three touchdowns he dropped, Josh Allen wins MVP?
If he catches the one in Philly?
He dropped one in Philly. He dropped one against Dallas.
Yes.
That was okay because they were winning by 20. But he dropped the touchdown against Dallas, and then he dropped one against Miami.
Miami.
Yeah.
So let's say...
And didn't they throw a pick on the next play?
Yes.
Was that the
I believe so.
Him and Gabe Davis yes. had a miscommunication?
Yep. So let's say right there...
Interesting.
Especially in Philly. That's a 40-yard touchdown.
They probably win that game.
They win that game. It's a 40-yard touchdown. Yep. And
Allen would have crossed the 30 passing touchdown threshold. He had 29.
He would have crossed the 30 touchdown threshold. He had how many yards passing?
He had 4,300. So
he probably gets to, if he has those three additionals.
Give another 100.
And that's not to say like, hey, it's all James Cook's fault. I guess I'm more so saying they were in such big situations that the difference between the Bills winning 11 games and 12 games if they beat Philly could totally be the difference.
It could have been. I might still Lamar Jackson. They often do give the MVP now to just the quarterback on the one seed.
Sure,
but right, Allen maybe could have. Cook, man, 281 touches last year. I don't think that's going much higher than
I
that.
Don't think it is either. And wouldn't you say that you think Josh Allen's 111 attempts go down?
Rushing, I might not bet that. I don't know if they can afford for that to go down.
I wonder, and maybe when we have some time, we should look at a split of his attempts per game. I think they have this somewhere. The attempts per game before Joe Brady and after Joe Brady, I think it's double. So I think he was on pace for that number to be significantly lower, and then it just...
Right.
Desperate times.
Before we take a timeout, we can look at that for Allen. The other reason, look what they did at receiver. They brought in, not everyone was the biggest name, they brought in everybody, right? Yeah. They brought in so many different ideas, Claypool and MVS, and even Mac Hollins, if you wanted, and they draft Coleman. Samuel, of course, is the biggest signing. They poured assets and ideas into that position. What did they do at running back? Ray Davis. And that's not nothing, but it's not a lot. It's a fourth-round pick. They did not go out and sign Saquon Barkley. They did not go out and sign Devin Singletary again. They didn't go sign this year's version of David Montgomery. They didn't bring in a good competition for James Cook. They brought in a rookie, and we'll see. Rookies at running back especially, anywhere could be great. Isaiah Pacheco, right? Seventh-round pick. So Ray Davis could show up and be really good. But they did not bring any established competition for him. So for me, I think his role is going to be largely the same. I think his carries are going to be largely the same. So if the books think he's going to have fewer than 950 yards, then I think you're expecting him to have a way less efficient season. And I don't think I want to bet that either. So 950 yards, I think I'd want to bet the over on James Cook. I think he's going to have around the same that he did last year, and he's going to have about 1,000 yards. Just above.
Yeah. I if you look, and I think I totally agree with you too, because I think the consensus or what you would think about James Cook this year, about maybe in a little reduced role, is there is 122 carries between Murray Johnson and, by the way, Damon Harris, who played early.
In
he played
the,
early.
In the neck injury.
So there is just between Johnson, I would say just between Murray and Harris.
Yeah.
You have about 100 touches.
Right. And where those could come, and we'll take a break here after this. The Cook touches were often on first and second down. Go look at who led them in snaps on third and long passes and who led them at catches for a running back on third and long passes. It wasn't James Cook. Who was on the field when it was third and eight and they needed to pick up the first down and they were going to drop back the pass? Latavius Murray was on the field. Latavius Murray, of their running backs, had the most receptions on third down passing situations. Why? He was only out there because they trusted him as a blocker.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not betting that they're going to trust Cook in that way on third and long situations. I think somebody else has that role.
And
I think that's Ray Davis.
What was one of the first things you heard Brandon Bean talk about after they drafted Ray Davis?
Was it that?
Blocking.
Okay. Yep.
He literally called out a play that he remembered from college.
Yep.
And the play was him blocking.
Right. I know they once called James Cook a sub back. I know James Cook has, receiving chops. But of course he does. It's what his maybe biggest skill was coming into the league. But today, he's their runner. I feel like going into the year, James Cook is their runner. And Ray Davis is their pass catching back. Let me put it this way. Their pass catching downs back. I bet Cook will have more catches. But I think when it's third and long and they're going to line up to throw, I think Ray Davis is the one that's going to be on the field. 803-0550 is the phone number. It is Give716 Day. We've got Ozuna Fresh this hour. Bills and Sabres themed Ozuna Fresh starter packs for the first 100 donors of $71.60 or more. Are we at that $400,000 mark? I don't have the counter updated. I'm going to the site right now with a refresh, and oh, so close, $395,000. All right, well, maybe we'll be at that number by the time we get back. Give716.org. You can donate any amount, but again, there's the incentives. If you donate $71.60 or more, there'll be more incentives throughout the day. So be sure to donate as we all come together today for the community. Give716, July 16th, of course. 803-0550 is the phone number. We'll have Greg Thompson a little bit later on from Cover One. We'll have Chris Brown on today as well. We'll preview a little bit of training camp, and we'll talk some of the big storylines for the rookies, because today is rookies reporting to training camp. Coleman, Cole Bishop, Dwayne Carter, and the whole lot of them. Jody Biasi, Nate Geary, this is WGR.
Change can be good. Sometimes people are resistant to change, but it's the nature of the business. You always want to stay a step ahead. This is a new team. Every team's a new team, but this is truly a lot of new faces, some players coming from other teams that have had success, or maybe things didn't work out as well, and we've got a fresh opportunity for them to reestablish themselves.
Brandon Bean at a mini camp about a month ago. Training camp in a week from tomorrow. And the rookies are reporting today. Who is the most interesting rookie to you that's not the second-round picks? Coleman and Bishop. Here I go eliminating Cole Bishop from a conversation again. But who is the most interesting rookie past the second round?
It's a good question.
Can I throw mine out there?
Yes.
I think it's the center.
Cedric Van Perren.
I think it's Van Perren Granger. Who we were gonna have to come up with a nickname for him. SVPG?
Nah, that's too much.
Too much?
Yeah.
VPG? VP? SVP?
SVP?
It can't be SVP. No, there's already an SVP. Yeah. Joe Marino on his episode of Locked On Bills after day three of the draft a couple months ago, when they picked him, was very much, and I think Eric Wood has sounded this way too, about him. Like, this guy's going to be a player in the league. Not only is he going to be, like, a star, you know, he's got, like, a short arms, right? Like, there are maybe some athletic reasons why he didn't go earlier than the fifth round, but four-year starter at Georgia, at center, he doesn't really have, at least right now, a lot of positional versatility to kick out to guard. So, at the moment, he's a center that played 4 years in the SEC at the biggest school. I don't know, like, is it impossible that he would start even this year at some point? That sounds crazy, I know, because he's a fifth-round pick. And there's a lot being pushed out about Connor McGovern, like, okay, this is the position I wanted to play. Mm-hmm. This is the position I grew up playing. Like, okay, I believe you. I believe that you think it will work, and it very well could. But you haven't done it in the National Football League. So until I see it work, I'm not just going to assume Connor McGovern is going to slide over to a position he hasn't played since college and it's going to go great. It could, and I might bet it will, but that's not locked in 100%.
And might I just add to that conversation is maybe less about how good he could be at center, but rather how good and solidified. He was probably the best left guard. And it felt like they had finally locked in their guard positions, which had been, frankly, revolving doors since Brandon Bean got here. I mean, they have tried a lot of things inside. And, like, you know, obviously Brian Bates, they trade for him. He really kind of came in as a tackle, but then moved and was their primary backup center and then went
and
to guard.
And guard, yeah.
And, you know, I thought that the thing that made it, I think,
really interesting was how quick they were to basically say, we're moving on from Mitch Morse, Connor McGovern's our center. Like, yeah. It was almost in the same report.
It was immediate.
It was like, the Bills are releasing Mitch Morse,
yeah,
and they're moving left guard Connor McGovern to center. Like, that was the plan right away. And it's not even... And obviously, they draft a guy, so the plan could change if Van Pran Granger ends up being, you know, as good as I think a lot of people think he could be. But the problem is, you know, the problem here to me, Joe, is Van Pran Granger even really going to get a shot? Because right. You have to start getting Connor McGovern
right.
in this offensive line, the starting unit, as many reps as possible. So you're not really going to say, well, we like this kid, we're going to see what he can do. He needs to see as many reps, Connor McGovern, as he possibly can with the starting offensive line, which means I just think it's going to be really difficult to really get a view or get a feel for how good he can be, and can he walk in and be this team starter at center?
That's a good point.
I think that that's what makes this situation for him to sort of overtake Connor McGovern, I think, really difficult.
It's a good point, right? It's not like Cole Bishop, where he's going to get first team reps. I would not expect him to get a crack at it in training camp either. So that's true. It would be very hard for him to push his way in. Really, I guess the only way he would be able to do it is injury.
Yep.
Right?
Yeah.
And if there's not going to be an injury, which you hope there isn't, then, I mean, really, we're talking until next year, or we're talking into the season. And this is all presuming he's a very good player and like will be an NFL player. Fifth-round picks are not always, but his background as a fifth-round pick is a little different than most fifth-round picks that you'll see. Usually guys have warts or, hey, there's an athletic profile here, but he really didn't do anything in college. You don't often get, you know, four-year starter at Georgia. At Georgia's line, by the way, which is like a beast of a line in college football that's available to you there, and they did that. So, interesting player, but right, I would agree with you that it would be a story if at any point in training camp we start seeing, oh, they're mixing in Van Pan Granger with the ones.
Right.
Even mixing in with the ones would be a story, I think, for him. The one other rookie that's interesting to me is Javon Solomon, defensive end, and that's only because that defensive end position is just thin.
And because of, frankly, how effective he had been in college.
Yeah.
I mean, he led the nation in sacks last year.
Is that where he led the... I knew he had a big totals. I didn't remember that he led the nation. Last year at Troy, he had 16 sacks.
Yes.
In his fifth year in college. He was a junior class just because of the COVID rules and whatnot. And he redshirted a year. So 16 sacks last year for Troy. And he's...
Yes, he led the nation with 16. Behind him was...
Okay.
James Madison at 50, Jalen Green from James Madison with 15 and a half sacks.
Okay.
So yeah, I mean, led the nation, and that's a guy that age probably didn't help him, right? Again, I mean, he's 23 years old. He's a little bit, to your point, as a fifth year senior.
Yeah.
He's also not huge. He's 6'1", 247. And the arm length, like the Bills to me got in Van Pran Granger and Javon Solomon in back-to-back picks, by the way, got two guys with incredible college careers that fell in the draft because of measurables. You know, Van Pran Granger, short arms, didn't test well. Javon Solomon, short arms, small guy, didn't test well. And for me, I think that those are the kind of guys that if you're the Bills, you almost kind of have to go after in these later rounds. You need guys that could potentially step in. You need guys that could make the team. And listen, in the fifth round, there's a really good chance he makes the team, but they're kind of loaded at depth at defensive end. They don't have the guy at defensive end, but they certainly have guys who have done it in the league.
Yeah. Yeah. Is it worth pointing out maybe that, you know, who did they pick in the fifth round last year? Justin Shorter, who came off as like a project. Right? Hey, there's size here, and there's speed, there's athleticism, but do not expect him to come in and contribute right away. Like, this is a project. Versus this year, with guys going out the door and limited resources to replace them, they, in the middle rounds, yeah, they targeted more of, okay, this guy's older, but that might be good for us, right? Like, okay, upside might not be there because he's an older player and the measurables aren't there, but is he more capable of stepping in and playing right away than the 6'5", 280 defensive end that had two sacks last year that we have to turn into something. No, let's go get the 6'1 guy that's 245 that didn't test well because he had 16 sacks last year and he's older and we could plug him right in. And if he has to play a role, then we trust him more to do that. There could have been a mindset shift in that because of the state of the team. So Solomon and Van Prant Granger would be the two that I'm going to be most interested in once training camp gets rolling. But right, like how much is Van Prant Granger going to get the start, an opportunity? Not much. Solomon, if he looks good, will be a part of the rotation. Like he won't be a big part of it, but if he looks good throughout training camp, like he'll get snaps on defense. That's for sure.
Let me really quick. I've got some interesting comparisons that I want to throw your way really quick.
All right.
And then we got to take a break.
Okay.
Javon Solomon, right? Okay, so looking through his next-gen stats, his combine breakdown, his production score, 81, which ranks second amongst defensive end and edge rushers in the draft. His athleticism score, 69, which ranked 16th. His total score for defensive ends and edge players in the draft, 7th. He ran a 4.72 40, a 37-inch vertical jump, and 6.1 246, 33 7/8 arms, and 10 3/4 hands. Who do you know who I'm going with on his comparison? It's almost identical.
Jerry Hughes.
It's almost identical.
Uh-huh.
He ran the 4.72. Jerry Hughes ran a 4.65.
Okay.
And Jerry Hughes is 6'2", 255. Solomon's 6'1", 247.
Yep. Quick
arms,
rusher.
Arms, 33.
Yeah. They really haven't had a rusher like this. I mean, he's a fifth-round pick, so we'll see. But bend and speed, right? And, you know, a more of an elusive rusher than a power rusher, which really has been more of like Rousseau, Epinesa. Those are guys who are just long and they're just going to run into you and you've got to hold them up. Solomon's probably is going to try to go around you in some way. So we'll see if he gives them anything as a fifth round rookie, because that position is weak right now until Von Miller proves he's back to form. Or even 40% back to form, then that is a weak position on paper. 803-0550 is the phone number. Give 716 day. Azuna Fresh is this hour up until 7 o'clock when it'll be trusted nurse staffing with a $10,000 matching donation starting at 7 o'clock. First 100 donors, $71.60 this hour, get a Bills or Sabres themed starter pack from Azuna Fresh. So go to give716.org to donate. Jody Biasi, Nate Geary, there was a really bad national anthem yesterday at the Home Run Derby. If you did not hear it, stay tuned at 7 o'clock because it is a banger, this national anthem from last night. One of the worst. It might be on the Mount Rushmore of bad national anthems.
It looked so cringy that I didn't watch it, so I'm interested to listen.
You couldn't bring yourself to do it?
Nope, so I guess you're going to force me to.
This is good. We're going to hear Nate react live for the first time to it. For me, it might be the second worst one I've ever heard.
Behind Rosie.
Yeah, and did she do that one on purpose?
Probably.
Okay. So, it might be the worst. By some standards, then it might be the worst one we've
accidental,
ever seen.
Accidentally the worst one ever.
Yeah, yeah. Jody Biasi, Nate Geary, this is WGR. I was just watching. Billboard did an article about 10 years ago, the 11 worst national anthems of all time. Scott Stapp at a NASCAR race in 2005 was pretty bad. The lead singer of Creed. Steven Tyler makes it on here twice. I've not heard those ones yet, though. We'll have some fun with that coming up in the 7 o'clock hour. Give716day.org. Head over to give716.org. It's give716day, I should say. Azuna Fresh next 10 minutes, and then trusted nurse staffing with $10,000 matching donations in the 7 o'clock hour. We'll have Greg Thompson on a little bit later on. We'll have Chris Brown on in the 8 o'clock hour to preview some of training camp. There was Pro Football Talk wrote about KJ Hamler yesterday for the Bills, and I've been interested in him all offseason. It's not totally weird to me, maybe a little weird to me, that Chase Claypool's had so much obsession about him when Hamler went in the same round as Claypool did. And you could say, okay, but yes, the difference is Claypool performed, right? Two big years, 800-plus yards in his first two seasons. Hamler had a heart condition, which is why his career in Denver ended. And the exact condition he has is pericarditis. Basically, Hamler says it feels like his heart is cramping. His heart felt like it was cramping during a workout, which is how he originally experienced it with the Broncos. So he got, you know, diagnosed with that. Inflammation around the tissue in his heart, around it. Waived by the Broncos, then went to the Colts, but he never played for the Colts because it happened again. So I don't know that he's a bad player. I feel like he might just not have played in the league because he's had a heart condition that's gotten in the way of it on two different teams. That also means, though, what's to say that it...
That it won't, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I hope for his sake that it doesn't, but I'm not thinking he is a bad idea because he's a bad football player. I feel like we have no idea if he's a good football player or not. He was a second-round pick that hasn't played a lot in the league, so we'll see. And he's the fastest player on the team, if you go by 40 times at least.
A couple of knee injuries. I think
actually,
an Achilles
second,
injuries.
Andy Isabella had an insane fast.
I think he had a bad knee injury his rookie year.
He did, but I don't think he tore his ACL. I think it was... I'll double-check that. You're right, he did have a knee injury of some sort, though, in his rookie year. How stunning would it be if he made the team? Stunning?
Stunning.
Who's your, you think, six?
Rookies? Or six receivers?
Six receivers, total.
Yeah, it would be stunning if he made the team.
Because he'd have to beat out...
Practice squad, maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe I would say this, he has probably a very good chance of beating out Andy Isabella as, like, their off-the-bench guy.
Yeah, which is what Isabella was last year. 803-0550 is the phone number. If you missed the national anthem last night at the Home Run Derby, stay tuned because it was really bad. And we'll play that for you coming up next. Jody Biasi, Nate Geary, this is WGR.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes.
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or draft pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... You deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame...
Two more.
You deserve this ice-cold reward. Modelo, the markable fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
It is a banger, this this national anthem from last night. One of the worst. It might be on the Mount Rushmore of bad national anthems.
It looked so cringy that I didn't watch it. So I'm interested.
You couldn't bring yourself to do it.
Nope. So I guess you're gonna force me to.
We're gonna hear Nate react live for the first time to it. For me, it might be the second worst one I've ever heard,
behind Rosie.
Yeah, and did she do that one on purpose?
Probably.
Okay. So it might be the worst. By some standards, then it might be the worst one.
Accidentally the worst one ever.
Yeah, yeah. Jody Biasi, Nate Geary, this is WGR. I was just watching. Billboard did an article about 10 years ago, the 11 worst national anthems of all time. Scott Stapp at a NASCAR race in 2005 was pretty bad. The lead singer of Creed. Steven Tyler makes it on here twice. I've not heard those ones yet, though. We'll have some fun with that coming up in the 7 o'clock hour. Give716day.org. Head over to give716.org. It's give716day, I should say. Zuna Fresh next 10 minutes, and then Trusted Nurse Staffing with $10,000 matching donations in the 7 o'clock hour. We'll have Greg Thompson on a little bit later on. We'll have Chris Brown on in the 8 o'clock hour to preview some of training camp. There was Pro Football Talk wrote about KJ Hamler yesterday for the Bills, and I've been interested in him all offseason. It's not totally weird to me, maybe a little weird to me, that Chase Claypool has had so much obsession about him when Hamler went in the same round as Claypool did. And you could say, okay, but yes, the difference is Claypool performed, right? Two big years, 800 plus yards in his first two seasons. Hamler had a heart condition, which is why his career in Denver ended. And the exact condition he has is pericarditis. Basically, Hamler says it feels like his heart is cramping. His heart felt like it was cramping during a workout, which is how he originally experienced it with the Broncos. So he got, diagnosed with that. Inflammation around the tissue in his heart, around it, waived by the Broncos, then went to the Colts, but he never played for the Colts because it happened again. So I don't know that he's a bad player. I feel like he might just not have played in the league because he's had a heart condition that's gotten in the way of it on two different teams. That also means, though, what's to say that it won't?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I hope for his sake that it doesn't, but I'm not thinking he is a bad idea because he's a bad football player. I feel like we have no idea if he's a good football player or not. He was a second-round pick that hasn't played a lot in the league, so we'll see. And he's the fastest player on the team, if you go by 40 times at least.
A couple of knee injuries.
I think actually, Achilles second. Injuries. Andy Isabella had an insane fast.
I think he had a bad knee injury his rookie year.
He did, but I don't think he tore his ACL. I think it was... I'll double-check that. You're right. He did have a knee injury of some sort, though, in his rookie year. How stunning would it be if he made the team? Stunning?
Stunning.
Who's you think, six?
Rookies? Or six receivers?
Six receivers, total.
Yeah, it would be stunning if he made the team.
Because he'd have to beat out...
Practice squad, maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe I would say this, he has probably a very good chance of beating out Andy Isabella as, their off-the-bench guy.
Yeah, which is what Isabella was last year. 803-0550 is the phone number. If you missed the national anthem last night at the Home Run Derby, stay tuned because it was really bad. And we'll play that for you coming up next. Jody Biasi, Nate Geary, this is WGR.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly! Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.